We're actually finishing up our first series, which is exciting. So we're coming to the fourth week, and this is your first time here, let me just give you some context. We started with the vision several weeks ago of the church, and we talked about the grand vision that the Lord's given us that we're excited about for the church. But then the natural question is, how in the world are we going to accomplish it practically? And so the last 3 weeks, or 2 weeks in this one, we've been looking at the mission of the church. It can be summarized in three words, connect, grow, and then this week we come to the last one, which is serve. So we're connecting to God. It's on the front of your bulletin. Connect to God, connect to the body of Christ. Then we naturally, as we do that, we'll want to grow to maturity in Christ. And then the last is this week, is serve to advance the kingdom of Christ. One thing I've not said yet, which is cannot go without saying, is that, you know, if you were to take a second grader and explain to them what their curriculum was going to look like through graduating in high school, it would be a little overwhelming, right? They're like, oh, okay, I'm doing like AP physics, you know? So this is a little bit like our mission. We wanted to explain the whole of what we're doing. But for some of you, connect is really all you need to hear. You need to connect to God for the very first time. You've never connected with Him. And then the rest of it, don't worry about it. You'll get that when you get to high school, right? So don't be overwhelmed. We're in the third piece of this. So some of you are going to say, I'm not ready for this. That's okay. But we want you to understand what we're about as a church. That we are connect. We want to connect. We want to grow. We want to serve. Okay, with that aside, open your Bible to Matthew 28, the end of the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, we have extras. So if you don't have one with you this morning, just raise your hand and a lovely assistant will give you one. And if you don't have a Bible at home, this is our gift to you. Please take it with you. If you're getting one of those Bibles, the passage is on page 487. 487. All right, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Let us give our attention to God's perfect and timeless Word. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Well, thus far in God's Word, let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the four Gospels. Thank you for this very passage. Jesus' final words before returning to heaven, this great commission, as it were, for all of us. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me as I explain it, as I illustrate it, as I apply it, and you would help them as they hear it. Lord, do good this morning for your glory, for the advancement of your kingdom alone. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin with this question. What do you love about eating at restaurants? What do you love about eating at restaurants? Well, of course, there's the food. Yummy food, nice menu. But isn't it also nice to be served? Like, there's people. You just tell them, here's what I want to eat. They go and they disappear and they bring it back to you. When you finish your drink, they just refill it. If someone spills something, you don't clean it up. That's their job. Isn't it great? You have these servers and they serve you. I mean, it's almost like being a king or a queen for an hour. You have to pay them for it, but it's great. So, speaking of being a king or queen, I mean, there's lots of things that would be great about that, but one of the things is you get to have your own kingdom, and you get to make the rules, and there's a temptation for all of us to want to build our own kingdom, whether it's just we want to be served, or whether it's we want to advance our career, or our hobbies, or whatever. Well, this morning, this passage is talking about another kingdom. It's not yours, it's Jesus's, and it's advancing that. That's the third piece of our mission, is serve to advance the kingdom of Christ. Because there's lots of ways to serve Christ. Some of you did this morning. Right? You set all this nice stuff up. We're thankful for you. You can serve by helping widows and orphans. Right? Scripture speaks of that and holds that up. You can do good work. If you work hard at your work and you do it to God's glory, you're serving Him, right? And so there's lots of ways. We're talking about one specific way. When we say serve in our mission, we're saying serve to advance His kingdom. The rest of our morning, we're going to be unpacking, what does that mean to do that? This passage is probably familiar to some of you. It's known as the Great Commission. And so we're going to look at, we're going to break it down into three parts. So first is, and you can find this on page 7 in your bulletin, both the passage and the verses. And we're going to go through the verses a lot, so you'll want to look there. Listen up, make disciples, and plant churches. Before we dive into the listen up, look at verse 16 and 17. So it says, the 11, they went to Galilee, they went to the mountain. Jesus said, meet me here. So they go there. When they get there, what do? They worship him. You see, he's now glorified. Right? He lived, he died, he rose, and this is his new body. He's more magnificent, and they're worshiping him. A few doubted. Right? So the Bible's very honest, isn't it? Like, yep, they still have doubts, even in all they've seen. Okay, so now let's look at the listen up. And so this is really going to be verse 18, but think about a person's last words. And are any of you that have children and you get a babysitter, you might have last words to your children. Now look, before you watch TV, do your chores. Are you listening? Yes, Mom and Dad. Right? And then you leave. Those are your last words. You really emphasize them. What happens an hour later? Completely forgotten, right? So we too can completely forget Jesus' last words. So please, let us not forget his last words. Okay, so who, when the timing of it, that's important, who it is, right? You're a parent, your kids pay attention. This is who? Jesus. So God has only come to earth and lived one time in all of human history. And this was it. He lived, he said a lot of things. These were his final words before he went back. Okay, that's kind of important, right? And then the final is jurisdiction. Our police officers aren't with us this morning. They're probably policing the streets. But you know they have jurisdiction, right? They can only arrest people in their jurisdiction, right? They can't do it in someone else's. Kids, you know this, right? Your teacher has jurisdiction over you. Jurisdiction just means like authority, okay? In the classroom, right? If you don't obey the teacher, you're getting in trouble. What about on the school bus? Well, the school bus has authority. And then on the field, the coach has the authority, right? And so each of those are different jurisdictions. The question is, where does Jesus have jurisdiction? Look at verse 18. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It's everywhere. Right? Jesus had authority, right? He spoke as one with authority when he was here. He healed people. He multiplied loaves and fishes, right? He had authority over bread and fish. Authority over Lazarus. He raised him from the dead. Right? So he used authority. He stopped the wind and the waves with a word, but he had used just a fraction of his authority up to this point. Right? Jesus knows exactly what he's doing in this moment. He is making a huge emphasis. He's never talked like this. Read the rest of the Gospels. Do you hear him talking like this? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I mean, if this doesn't mean listen up, I don't know what does. Right? Do you see that? So when it is, who it is, and then his jurisdiction. These are all reasons. A little sneak peek. Next week we're going to start the book of Philippians. It's a really joyful, fun, really encouraging book. Let me give you a sneak peek. This is from chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, this is talking about Jesus. And being found in human form, he, being Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Okay, so there's two halves of Jesus' life. His, what's called his humiliation, that's basically his first 33 years. Right? He suffered, lots of bad things happened, ended with his execution on the cross. Then God exalts him, right? And so this is he's now been exalted. We see that in Philippians 2. We see this in this passage. Jesus has every right, hope I've convinced you, he has every right to command us to do anything he wants. It's true. And we just have to obey. Like, he has all authority. There's no authority higher than him. But I know in this age, duty is not the most popular motivator. It's true, isn't it? So let me give you a few others. In addition to the fact that he has every right to tell you what to do. Think about this. This is 2 Corinthians 5. It says, for Christ's love, it doesn't say his authority, for Christ's love compels me. It like pushes me. It's behind me. That, you know, when someone does something really nice for you, don't you feel like, hey, I'll do anything for you? Isn't that our natural response? So like, Jesus literally died for us. That just naturally motivates us to say, yeah, Jesus, whatever. Of course I want to obey you. You might remember last week another motivator. You're adopted. Every kid wants to please their parents on a good day. Right? We have a natural inclination to please our Father. And so we now have a Heavenly Father. And so we naturally want to please Him. So hopefully you're convinced there's plenty of motivation. So now we get to what He commanded us. And I want to kind of slow down. I want to look very carefully. There's not many words here. What did He actually command? Look at it. Again, verse 19. He says, go therefore. Okay, therefore. Why is the therefore? It's because He just said, I have all authority. So He's referring back. He says, I have all authority. Therefore, what? Go make disciples. Go make... What's a disciple? What's a disciple? Oh, it's the 11 guys looking at Him. Right? I mean, so He spent 3 years, 24-7 with these guys, right? They've eaten together. They've ministered together. They've suffered together. They've done everything together, right? And they've finished their training. And He's about to leave, and He says, all right, go make disciples. All right, that doesn't sound strange because you've heard this like 1,000 times. Okay, let me just illustrate why this is so strange. At the end of med school, what do they say at graduation? Doctors, go make doctors. No, they don't say that. They say, go be a good doctor at nursing school. Anything, you get an MBA. They don't say, go make more accountants. Right? They say, don't cook the books. Right? But when you finish training, unless you're a school teacher, they don't say, go make more of yourself. But that's what Jesus said to the disciples. Do you see how strange that is? That He's saying, go reproduce yourselves. Don't just go share the gospel, go preach the good news. Of course, it includes that. He says, go make disciples. The reality is, disciples make disciples. The second part of our mission says, grow to maturity in Christ. We could have just as easily said, grow to become a disciple. A disciple is a mature believer. A disciple is not a baby on a baby bottle. I remember that illustration from last week. Spiritually, there are people who have been Christians a long time, and they're still drinking milk from a bottle. That's not what this is saying. So, Jesus said, go make disciples. Go make mature believers. In order to make a mature believer, what do you have to be? A mature believer. Right? And do you see how this is generational, that one generation will pass it on to the next? I want to share personally for just a second. I went to college at Virginia Tech. I keep moving farther away from that, so there's less and less Hokies that I'll be speaking to, but that's where I went, and I was involved with a group called the Navigators, a Christian ministry. They talked about discipleship a whole lot. My freshman year, a junior, a senior started doing this thing called discipleship with me. I didn't really know what it was, but they would spend time with me once a week. It was a little bit like having a friend and a coach and a counselor. Right? We'd talk about, hey, this is what I think God wants for you, and hey, let's talk about what you're anxious about. It was great. I loved it. I soaked it up. And so I graduated and I said, hey, I want more of this, right? And so the rest of my life, so for the past 20 years, nonstop, I can't remember any point in the past 20 years that I didn't have somebody discipling me. As I'd move, I'd hold on to the person from the last city until I found somebody new, right? And it's apart from my parents discipling me, it has been the single most transformational thing in my life. Single greatest transformation that people have known me, And I've trusted them with my lives, and they've poured into me, who are further along in the faith. I've been doing that for 20 years. And so, from my own personal experience, when it says make disciples, I get it. Because disciples have been pouring into me, and it is my desire. And so my challenge to you this morning is there anyone in this church that you know that knows less than you? Is there anyone that you could spend some time with? Is there anyone that knows more than you? That maybe you could spend time with and they could pour into your life. This is a key part of Christianity. It was Jesus' final statement. Go make disciples. Okay, so generally Christians underestimate their ability to help others. I'm aware of this. So, we have this thing called prayer triads. If you're here last week, you heard about it. If you weren't, everyone else, you just have to bear with me. If you weren't here, prayer triads, they're great. Right, so it's three people, it's a flat. There's not like the leader and the student, and you just begin to spend time together. But here's what's going to happen. If you have three guys, right, and those two guys are listening to me, and I'm sharing about my problems, right, or what I need prayer for, and they're like, oh, have you thought about this? You know, I was reading this Bible verse, it might be helpful. Before long, I will grow. It's just going to happen. Right? There's no leader, and then the next guy, he's sharing it. It's just naturally going to happen. So I encourage you to consider joining or starting a prayer triad. These flyers are over there on the information table. You can grab one, and I highly encourage that. All right, so last week, what did we talk about? Grow to maturity in Christ. Right? This week, we're talking about serving to advance the kingdom of Christ. He has now commissioned us to go help others to grow to maturity. Right? Last week, I want to grow to maturity. Now I want to help others grow to maturity. Just so you can see the flow. Let me rewind back to our vision for a second. So our vision is, and it's not on your bulletin. We surprise you every once in a while. It switches back and forth, if you didn't realize that. On the table out there, too, this is all promotion for that table. I know it sounds like that, but there's a card that has our vision, mission, and our values on it, so you can find all this. But it begins with to experience the full life found in Christ alone. Right? And so in order to do that, you have to be mature. We use the analogy, I believe it was last week, yep. And that's the book that he was talking about, My Heart, Christ's Home, is this idea of Jesus moving into all the rooms in your life. Right? And that's, as he does that, there's more fullness. Right? Because we live in all the rooms of our heart, even if Jesus doesn't. Right? The ones that are dirty and a mess, they aren't fun. And so as Jesus moves in, we're growing to maturity. And so what it is to disciple is to help others, to explore rooms they maybe haven't been in a long time, but they haven't let Jesus in a long time. All right, so he said, go make disciples. And what did he say next? Of who? All nations. All nations. All right, that's pretty big. In our vision, we say, in every neighborhood of Cane Bay, Charleston, around the world. That we stole this from actually Acts 1:8. So the parallel to our passage this morning is Acts 1:8. And so Jesus, he's talking to his disciples, he's about to ascend, and he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, and listen to where it is, in Jerusalem, a city, and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we've done the same thing. So in our little Cane Bay, which isn't so little anymore, in Cane Bay, Charleston, around the world, that we want to slowly expand, that we're helping other people be disciples. Why do you think Jesus put such emphasis on commissioning every Christian to make disciples? Why such emphasis on this? The reality is, this is the way the church stays strong. The church is always one generation from extinction. Think about it. If all the Christians in the earth right now don't make disciples, what's going to happen to the next generation? There won't be Christianity. Right? I mean, the reason we're here is because those 11 guys listened and obeyed. They said, aye, aye, Captain, we'll make disciples. Right? And so they made disciples and made disciples who carried on the gospel for 2,000 years. And that's why you're here. We don't know how long Jesus is going to wait to come back, but we want to make sure there's still a church, right? And so we make disciples. We pour into others. All right, so speaking of churches and not going to extinction, that brings us to our third point. Plant churches. Plant churches. Look at verse 19 and 20 again. Now we looked at the first words, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But then what does it say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. All right, so two things there, baptizing and teaching. Let's look at baptizing first. He says, baptize in what name? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You ever wonder why we baptize in the whole Trinity? That is why, because Jesus said so. Also, you'll hear people say, hey, you know what? The Trinity's not in the Bible. You look for that word. It's right here. Isn't it? He said in the name, it's a name singular. There is one God in three persons. Singular, there is one God, three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's important to get. All right. The second part, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Is the gospel enough to save a person? Is the gospel enough to save? Absolutely. All right, I keep throwing around this word gospel. Let me just explain in 60 seconds. Could you do that? Could you explain the gospel in 60 seconds? Let's try. Don't time me because I'll probably miss it. All right, the gospel. So it begins with really bad news. The bad news is you are far worse than you understand. I really got everyone's attention now. The reality is you've done some things you're ashamed of that you don't want anyone to know. But there's a whole lot of other things that are in your heart you aren't even aware of. That Jesus said that when you get angry, you commit murder. All right, how many people have you killed? Right? And then he says, if you look at a woman lustfully, you commit adultery in your heart. I'm just going to let that sink in for a second. Okay, so we all have a problem. I'm probably past 60 seconds. Anyway, let's get the good news. That Jesus came to die on the cross to take all those sins that you can't pay for, the death penalty. He went to the cross to pay the price for your sins if you will believe and follow Him. If you will put your trust in Him and let Him be Lord of your life. Okay, that's the gospel. Is that enough to save a person? Yes. Is that enough for a person to become a mature believer? I said no. It's not. What did Jesus say? He said, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. All right. There's a lot of people in the Bible. We have a lot of their histories and what they've said. How many people do we have four times over the account of their life and teaching? There's kind of only one, isn't there? There's just Jesus. We have four Gospels. I mean, you have to pause for a second and think. Four times the same guy's life is being told about. We probably should pay attention. He happens to be the Son of God. And so Jesus says, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. All right, now what context do we get these things? Baptism and teaching all the commands of Jesus. A church. It's a church. You need a church to do this. In order to fulfill the Great Commission, you need churches. Let me illustrate this. All right, some of you like Chick-fil-A. If I tell you, I want you to start selling Chick-fil-A sandwiches, you're like, all right. I want you to open up a drive-thru and curbside pickup. I want you to do the three things. Chicken sandwiches, curbside pickup, drive-thru. All right, in your head, you've already concluded, I'm probably going to have to open a store. Right? I could sell sandwiches out of my trunk, but I can't have a drive-thru and curbside pickup. Right? What I've asked you to do necessitates you opening a store. What Jesus has asked us to do necessitates the opening of churches. It seems simple, but a lot of people miss this. We must plant churches all around the world if we're going to fulfill this, if we're going to baptize, if we're going to teach them all that He has commanded. Hey, thank you very much this morning. You are fulfilling the Great Commission. Many of you have poured into starting this church so that we can baptize, so that we can teach. This didn't exist. There are other churches that have been here in Cane Bay, but they need more. And so God is raising up another one. And so you are a part of this. So I hope you see church planting in the Great Commission. Do you see it? He has commanded things that can only be accomplished if you start a church. So the implication, you're going to have to start churches. There's another implication here that shouldn't be missed. I want to speak to all parents, but particularly fathers, if I can have your attention. If you're a father, please listen up. Jesus has just commanded you to go make disciples. Do you think that includes your kids? I mean, is there any way that you could read that and say, well, he probably means like other people, not these like little snotty-nosed kids. He absolutely means that. And so, fathers, I just want to encourage you. Apply this in your home. Make disciples. I think we as men can easily make two mistakes. We either make unrealistic goals, or we make no goals. Or we make unrealistic goals, and then we fail at them, and then we go back to making no goals. Right? And we oscillate between the two. I want to encourage you. This is what I'm about to tell you is not prescriptive in Scripture. It's just an idea. Why don't you make a goal that's in the middle? What if you made it your goal to open the Bible with your kids three times a week? It's less than half of the week. Like you miss 4 days and you get three, and you have accomplished this goal. If you just do that, how many times will have you read the Bible in a year? 150, over 150. I mean, how much impact could it have on your kids? 150 conversations. Like, just open up and we read one Bible verse. Like, just say, okay, kids, today we're reading this. All right, and let's talk about it. What do we learn about God in this? What do you learn about yourself? How can you apply this? Just some simple questions. They'll come up with zany answers, it's fine. But you're opening the Bible with them. Just three times a week. If you do that for 10 years, 1,500 conversations. That's way more than they're going to hear from me. Way more. And they care much more what you think than I think. 1,500 conversations. Just make a reasonable goal. You don't have to pick mine of 3 times a week, but do something, right? And then you can even use a devotion. Like, just read what someone else said. Like, here's a Bible verse and here's what it means. But I just want to challenge you. Jesus has commissioned you, and you have to fulfill this in your home. You have to figure out how. This is one way. Just open the Bible 3 times a week with your kids. That's pretty convicting. We should move on. You know, our mission says, serve to do what? Advance the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ. What is that? What's the kingdom of Christ? The kingdom of Christ is where the reign and rule of Christ is. It's the way with any other kingdom, right? Where the king is in charge. And when they expand their kingdom, they've taken over that land and they now reign over that land. And so the kingdom, is the kingdom of God reigning over Cane Bay? Well, in some homes he is, right? A lot of homes he isn't, right? There's a king in that house and it ain't Jesus, right? And so the king, to advance the kingdom of God is for the reign and rule of Christ to go somewhere where it has not been, to reign and rule somewhere. And so we want to serve to advance that, of course, in our own homes, but in other homes. In other homes as well. But how? How exactly do we advance the kingdom of Christ? Remember the allegory from last week? Right, the one with Jesus moving into different rooms in your house we just talked about a few minutes ago? Alright, so that's how the reign and rule of Christ happens in your house, right? He is in the process of extending his rule to the second floor in your home, to the bedroom, right? To your TV room. What about your neighbor's house? Is he reigning and ruling there? Many of our neighbors know, right? And they're ruling and they're doing a terrible job. They're pretty miserable trying to rule their own little kingdom. And so you want to look out your window, out your front porch, across your fence, and pray, Lord, I want to see you reign and rule in that house. I want to see your kingdom extended right over there. Lord, please do that. Please use me. That's what it means. That's a practical way. Now, of course, you don't just want to make them moral people, right? Like, well, here, you just need to follow these commands. No, the first thing is Jesus needs to move in. If Jesus doesn't live there, let's start there. That's called the gospel, right? We already covered that. And maybe it was like 90 seconds. Right? It starts with the gospel, and then it extends into making disciples that he would. And so they, and you can bring them to church. You can bring them to your prayer triad. You can then make it 4. You can start a new one with them. You get the idea. The reality is, we are all serving to advance some kingdom. Do you know that? You are serving to advance some kingdom. You do it every day. The question is, what kingdom are you advancing? You're advancing some kingdom. It's your hobbies? It's your career? It's your comforts? It's your competence? Or it's another kingdom? And so, my plea to you this morning is, listen to this. There's nothing better than this. It's not only does he have the authority to command you, but you're wasting your time on your hobbies. They will never satisfy you anything like advancing the kingdom of Christ. You were made for this. You were made for this. Let's do that together. Look how he ends the passage, though. You know, our passage began with authority. What does it end with? We haven't even looked at the last line. Look at the last line. And behold, Jesus says. That's for emphasis. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. If you had any question, if you have somehow missed what I've said and said, you know what, I think he's all wrong. That was just for those 11 guys. Or maybe it's just for him. Easy for him to say. He's a pastor. Yes, of course it applies. But it doesn't apply to me. But it does. Here's why. He says, I'm with you to the end of the age. Has the age ended? Nope. Has the mission been accomplished? Nope. Did he specify and say it's only for the people later who are likely to do this as a full-time job? Nope. So therefore it means you. Right? But catch these words of comfort. And these aren't just for like advancing his kingdom, these are ones for your marriage. These are ones for what you're really anxious about. Then he is with you. Do you know that God is with you? Do you remind yourself? I often remind myself of that. Even when I'm scared, I'll remind myself, Jesus, you are with me. And that is, this is the last line that the Son of Man said, that Jesus said on earth. This is the very last sentence that's recorded. It's one of comfort. You need comfort. He knows that. You need comfort in your homes, in your workplace, in your private lives that no one else sees. You need comfort. That He is with you. You are not alone. You are not alone. So let me summarize what we looked at the past 3 weeks. It begins with connection. You first need to connect with God. If the gospel is new to you, that's where it starts. If you're new here, you need relationships with the body of Christ. I have close relationships with all of my digits and all of my body parts, right? And so do you. And so Jesus says, you need close relationships with the body of Christ. You need to be connected with the body of Christ. Okay, then it goes to what? Grow. You need to grow to maturity. Our goal here is not to be a nursery. We have a nursery, and it's not for you. We want you to grow to maturity in Christ. And then finally, we want you to serve, not to advance your own kingdom, but to serve to advance Christ's kingdom. Think about what will happen if we do those three things well. If we do those things half well for the next 10 years, what could Christ do in Cane Bay? Like, what would the culture change of all of Cane Bay, if we did that? We're making disciples, who then make disciples and make disciples for 10 years. I mean, if you just imagine that. And hopefully, we'll have our 10th anniversary in 10 years from now, and we'll see. Look, well, look what you've done, God. We just helped connect people. We just helped we grew and others grew, and then we served to advance your kingdom. I don't want you to be duped. Here, as we close, please do not be duped. You will never be satisfied advancing your own kingdom. You will be miserable in it. God will assure you of that. He doesn't want you to be satisfied in advancing your own kingdom. But if you will give yourself to advance the kingdom that He has promised to do, the gates of hell will not stop the advance of His church. That's really exciting. Be a part of that. And He will be glorified. His kingdom will be advanced. Let's do that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, our only chance of succeeding over the next decade in this is if we walk by You, by Your power, with Your help. Lord, we can't do this on our own. And so, Lord, I ask that You would help us, that You would give us courage, give us vision, that You would bring people across our paths that You intend to save, that we could be a part of their salvation. Lord, glorify Yourself. Do something amazing in Cane Bay that only You can do. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.